Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to Walker Church this morning. If you're visiting with us, we're glad to have you. As far as announcements today, obviously, John and Sally are not here. Although, as Putt said, Sally is actually here. You just don't see her.
Sally,
I'll get in.
If you want me to, I'll come up there and sit.
It'll look good on you, Eddie. But as far as announcements, the only one that I am aware of is about COTS, which is coming up this following next week. If you would like to volunteer or haven't already let Janelle know, please do. If not, she might be calling you to find out. Are there any other announcements that we need before us this morning? Yes, ma'am.
I have a question. How's Andy Moore?
He hopes to come home next Tuesday. I didn't know anything had happened to Andy until this morning.
Can you update us on that?
Pardon me?
Can you update us on...
I was, but I was going to do that when I got to the pastoral prayer, but I can do it now. Andy, this past week, fell while he was moving hay, loading hay or doing something, and fell across the tongue of the truck and hurt himself terribly. It was a while before they could find him and get him out of the field. They finally did, and he had to have surgery. I believe he had to have some of his intestine removed. He was in terrible shape and is still not in the best of shape, but what Gail told me this morning, she talked to Alice last night, and said that he hopes to come home Tuesday, but that he has had a struggle from this accident. So. Yes, I'm sorry. No, not a stroke. He has been struggling with his... okay, I will try to pronounce and enunciate better because I don't want you to miss any of this fabulous sermon that you're going to hear later. Are there any other announcements that we need brought before us this morning?
We're glad to see Bill Ward back with us.
Amen, we are. Hearing none, we will continue with our worship service.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to praise your holy name and your presence here with us. Lord, we thank you that you are here with us and you invite us into your presence. And Father, we pray that we will celebrate with joy and glad rejoicing that we have been here in your house today, that everything that we do and say will lift up your name and glorify you and will edify your people. Father, we give our thanks and praise in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Our hymn of praise is All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Let's stand as we sing.
Royal diadem and crown him.
already have mentioned Andy. Is there anyone else this morning that we need to remember before we go to the Lord in prayer? Not, please bow with me as we go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we always want to give you thanks. Lord, even in the drastic times, Lord, we want to give you thanks. We thank you for the rain that we have had, and we pray that you will send us some more for our fields and our farms. And Father, we thank you for all the other blessings that you give us. And Lord, we want to lift your name up and we want to praise you this morning so that the world will know that you are our God and we are your people. And Father, we lift up all the names of those that we have mentioned earlier today, Lord, who need your healing touch and who need your presence. And Father, we lift up all who are sick, especially those, Father, that are on our prayer list here at church and our own personal prayer list, Father, that we don't mention to anybody else. Father, we know that you know all of these names, and Father, we know that and ask for your healing touch and your presence to be with all those who need it. Father, we pray for doctors and nurses as they go about their rounds and pray that you will bless their efforts today, Father, and throughout this week. Father, we thank you for the drugs and the vaccines and all that we have, and we pray that you will bless the production and the distribution of those so that the world can use all that they can have. And Father, we pray for all of those nations around the world who are suffering so much with COVID still. Father, we know that your care and your attention is needed for all of them. Heavenly Father, we pray for all of those who have grief and sorrow, and Lord, we know that we have lost so much just in the past year or year and a half. Father, we pray that your peace, your rest, and your comfort will be with all those who need it. And Heavenly Father, we pray for our nation. Father, we know that in many ways we seem to be divided, but Father, we pray through your guidance that we can understand that truly, Lord, we probably have much more that we have in common than we have that is dividing us. And Father, we pray for all of our national leaders, our state leaders, our government leaders at all areas. Father, we pray for your guidance, that you will grant them wisdom and understanding, even to those who refuse to know you or acknowledge you, Lord. We pray that your will be done. And Father, we pray that we can once again be a nation that follows and serves you. Father, we pray always for your guidance. We pray for your blessings upon our nation. And Heavenly Father, we pray for the men and women who protect, defend, and serve our nation, Father. For we know that the freedoms and liberties that we enjoy that allow us to even be here today, Father, were never free. Father, we give thanks for the men and women who fought and who have died and who have sacrificed that we can be free, that we can have freedoms, that we can speak our mind, and that we can meet here to worship you without worry or persecution. Father, we pray that you will keep them safe and bring them back home to their families. We pray that your healing touch will rest upon all of those who've been wounded, hurt, or gotten sick during their service. Father, we pray that your special peace will be with those families whose loved one has made the ultimate sacrifice. And Father, we pray for your forgiveness where we have strayed away from what you have guided us to be doing, and that we can be a faithful church. And Father, we pray that you will continue to bless this congregation. And Father, we give thanks for all these that meet here, for the prayers that they give for each other. Father, for the love that they show for you and for each other. And Father, we pray and give thanks for the service that we have been able to return to show our thanks and love for you. And Father, we ask that you always forgive us where we don't do all that you want us to do, where we omit or where we commit. Father, we pray that you will do these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I have a preparation. As Jesus calls us, let's stand as we sing.
wrongs and cares and pleasures, Christian, love me more than these. Jesus calls us by thy mercies, Savior, may we hear thy call. Give our hearts to thine obedience, serve and love thee best of all.
Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to give you thanks. But we know, Father, that all we are and all that we have is a gift from you. And Father, we ask that as we return a portion of those gifts that you've given us, that you use these for the good of your church, for the good of your community, and around the world. Father, we give these prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
There's a husband and wife team of Irish hymn writers. Their names are Keith and Kristen Getty. They've come on the scene rather lately, and they write hymns in the Celtic tradition. The song I'm going to sing this morning is one such hymn that they've written. You'll hear it in hymn form, verse, chorus, verse, chorus, verse, chorus. And it speaks about Jesus' presence with us, how he stays with us in all circumstances, and how he came on this earth to be with us and to save us. So listen now to In Christ Alone.
In Christ Alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when tears are still and striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Since Christ has lost its grip on me,
healed and alive, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the love of Christ I stand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the love of Christ I stand.
Amen. Our scripture this morning is found in the second book of Samuel, chapter 6, verses 1 through 19. Once again, David assembled the select warriors of Israel, 30,000 strong. David and all the troops who were with him set out for Baalah, which is Kiriath-Jearim of Judah, to bring God's chest up from there, the chest that is called by the name of the Lord of Heavenly Forces, who sits enthroned on the winged creatures. They loaded God's chest on a new cart and carried it from Abinadab's house, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, Abinadab's sons, were driving the new cart. Uzzah was beside God's chest while Ahio was walking in front of it. Meanwhile, David and the entire house of Israel celebrated in the Lord's presence with all their strength, with songs, zithers, harps, tambourines, rattles, and cymbals. When they approached Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah reached out to God's chest and grabbed it because the oxen had stumbled. The Lord became angry at Uzzah, and God struck him there because of his mistake, and he died there next to God's chest. Then David got angry because the Lord's anger lashed out against Uzzah, and so that place is called Perez Uzzah today. David was frightened by the Lord that day. "How will I ever bring the Lord's chest to me?" he asked. So David didn't take the chest away with him to David's city. Instead, he had it put in the house of Obed-Edom, who was from Gath. The Lord's chest stayed with Obed-Edom's household in Gath for 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom's household and all that he had. King David was told, "The Lord has blessed Obed-Edom's family and everything he has because of God's chest being there." So David went and brought God's chest up from Obed-Edom's house to David's city with celebration. Whenever those bearing the chest advanced 6 steps, David sacrificed an ox and a fattening calf. David dressed in a linen priestly vest, danced with all his strength before the Lord. This is how David and the entire house of Israel brought up the Lord's chest with shouts and trumpet blasts. As the Lord's chest entered David's city, Saul's daughter Michal was watching from a window. She saw King David jumping and dancing before the Lord, and she lost all respect for him. The Lord's chest was brought in and put in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. Then David offered entirely burned offerings in the Lord's presence, in addition to well-being sacrifices. When David finished offering the entirely burned offerings and the well-being sacrifices, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of Heavenly Forces. He distributed food among all the people of Israel to the whole crowd, male and female, each receiving a loaf of bread, a date cake, and a raisin cake. Then all the people went back to their homes. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. What events in your life have brought you the most joy? Or have you had an experience that literally made you break out into dancing? Do you still feel that joy? Were you embarrassed because you were outside dancing or celebrating so happily, or did it not bother you any whatsoever that people saw you in a moment of pure joy? I can tell you, I haven't danced outside too many times, but I've been through a few times when we had a serious drought, and when we finally got rain, I have stood in my front yard and danced in joy that we had rain. Think about our current society and what we celebrate as a society. Take a look at how the citizens of the city of the winning team for the last world championship this won, exactly how they celebrated. You'll probably get to see it repeated fairly soon, as soon as the basketball championship is over with. What do you think when you see violence and destruction that's part of this celebration by the fans? We may throw a ticker tape parade. We might have an all-day festival to celebrate what our team has accomplished, and by transference, what our allegiance to that team helped bring about. We can see the pure joy on the players' faces when they make a big dog pile out in the middle of a field, or when they have a, what we call a champagne shower or a bath. And we'll see this whether it might be the local pro team winning the world title or our favorite college team winning the national championship. Maybe even the local high school football team winning or teams winning the state. Everybody cheers. Well, except for those folks on the losing team and in the losing city. But tell me, do you ever really celebrate the coming of the presence of the Lord? Do we cheer and cry out for joy when we see someone saved? Are we even happy to be attending church this morning, where the Spirit of the Lord has called us, welcomes us, and literally, because we're here together, is here with us? Do we celebrate while we worship with others? Or have we gotten too reserved and laid back to really get into a Spirit-filled mode? Now, our scripture today relates the story of King David bringing, and you're going to forgive me because every once in a while I'm going to talk about the Ark of the Covenant, because I just think about it as being the Ark of the Covenant. I don't ever think about it as being God's chest. That sort of reminds me of a hope chest that sits at the end of the bed. But I'm going to use those interchangeably. The scripture, our translation refers to it as God's chest, and lets us know that this chest is called by God's own name. David wanted to bring this chest into his city, the city of Jerusalem, the city that he had just moved his capital into. I think probably he wanted it where, if they wanted to worship and go and see the presence of the Lord, so to speak, they didn't want to have to go miles out into the countryside. He wanted it to be local and to celebrate in his city. I think an interesting point in this is the fact that he felt unsafe enough that he had to take 30,000 warriors to go along with him to move the ark. And it's yay so big, if you watched the Raiders of the Lost Ark, you probably saw a pretty good description. But to move this, they took the time and effort to build a new cart and load it up, and Abinadab's sons were given the honor of being the closest people. One led the oxen team and the other one sort of walked along beside it. Now, if you're thinking about, well, why was this done, the scriptures don't really make this clear. I sort of think generally it's because maybe that back when Moses built the chest and the ark and put the stuff in it, and the tabernacle and the Holy of Holies were built, God laid out a certain order and named certain people that were the only people that could carry. Literally, there was one family or a group of family that was the only people that were permitted to carry the ark, the chest itself. Others were designated to carry the tabernacle and roll it up and sack it down and do everything that went with it. I just think maybe they were part of that family still. And that may be why it was stored at his place. The chest has an interesting history. If you go back and want to read and find out, there's a lot of stuff in Samuel that talks about it and in Judges as well. All the way up till it disappears from history. David and all of Israel, though, gathered, at least 30,000 of them, gathered and celebrated. They had musical instruments along, they sung, they danced, and they had great joy as the cart was moving along. And then, lo and behold, right in the middle of this, something happened. The oxen stumbled, and Uzzah did what I think almost virtually any human being would have done. He reached out and caught the ark to keep it from falling over. And because that was a proscribed activity, God instantly struck him down and upset everybody that was there, including David, who, as we often do, after he got over his fright, got mad. He got angry with God because God killed somebody and decided, you know, maybe God don't want us moving his chest. So all of them, they picked out a place and said, we're just going to leave it here and we're going to go back to the city and wait and see. Well, I don't think God had an issue with them moving the ark, because immediately blessings started happening for the family and the whole area around where the chest was left. And lo and behold, somebody couldn't wait. About 3 months later, they went running to tell David, you ain't going to believe this. But right there at Obed-Edom's house, everything is being blessed. They've got amazing things going on out there. Well, David immediately said, well, maybe God wasn't mad. Maybe he's okay with us doing this. And trust me, I want all those blessings to be happening here in my city, in the city of Jerusalem. So he went back out with all of the troops and all of the tribe or all of the folks in Israel to bring the chest all the way back in. Notice this time, though, that as they moved it, about not even as far as me and Putt are apart, every 6 feet or so, David did a sacrifice. But even while they were doing the sacrifices, he put on a special, I don't want to say a robe, but almost a vest, what is called ephod in the Bible, or in Hebrew language, a nice garment, and he literally danced his way along with all of the people into the city. And when he got to the city, they literally danced right down the streets. They sang. They had all the musical instruments, all are listed. And all of Israel, for the most part, all of Israel celebrated as they brought the chest into the city of Jerusalem. But not everybody. David's own wife, who was the daughter of Saul, was watching from, I guess, out the palace window, and she despised David in her heart. If you keep on reading, you will see she told him that she thought it was below the dignity of a king to be outside dancing. I don't think that bothered David any whatsoever. The ark was brought in. It was delivered to the tent that David had set up for it, and David blessed everybody, and once he gave them some bread and some cakes, he sent them all home. And what we are seeing here occurs not very long after the death of King Saul and Jonathan, and Jonathan's brother, basically most of Saul's brother family, were killed in battle. And David, at that point, was made king over all of Israel. Up until that time, he technically was only the king of Judah and Benjamin. But all the other tribes, the other 10, accepted him as their king, And he made Jerusalem his primary capital city. And had this great idea to bring the chest into the city for blessings or for whatever reason. I'm not sure. But if you continue on with the story, you will see not long after this, David also wanted to go on and build the temple. You probably already know the story. God told him in a dream, or told Nathan in a dream, to let David know he was not to be building any temple because of the blood that was on his hands. Now, David was a man of the people. If you ever have the time and want to, and you're not already familiar with it, go back and read the story of David all through Samuel. I mean, he got along well with people. He was well-liked, immensely well-liked. And all of the people, all of the tribes were extremely loyal to him. David seemed to wear his emotions on his sleeve, as we would say today. When he decided on a course of action, he didn't waste any time. He immediately went out and got started on it. Think about that. We just heard John not too long ago talk about his deal with Goliath and all of the other things that he did. David didn't waste any time. He did, when he decided on something needed to be done, he led with his heart, but he went on and got it done. I think probably though his finest quality was the fact that he apparently loved God and trusted God with all of his heart. He had a great deal and a great amount of faith. That didn't make him perfect, but he did have a great desire to please God. And look at the celebration that they had as they came into the city. They danced, they celebrated, they ran around with joy, threw their hands over the head. They broke out in a celebration. They made a spectacle of themselves. They were not ashamed to glorify and celebrate the very presence of God in their midst. And it seemed like this was almost a normal response for these people. Now, it took them a little longer because of what happened to Uzzah. But David and them completed the journey. And he didn't mind making a fool of himself in front of his wife if it meant celebrating and glorifying God. And that brings us to the central point of this message. David was willing to be open and vulnerable about worshiping and celebrating God's presence in his home city. So why don't we? He danced and sang before the Lord. But here we are as Christians this morning, here at the express invitation of God. The Holy Spirit Himself invites us in. We are members of God's own family, brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. The presence of the Holy Spirit welcomed us here this morning. But are we even happy to be here? I didn't see any celebrating and dancing and singing as we came up this morning to enter the church. Do we ever sing and dance with joy to be here? David and the people of Israel were full of joy that God had arrived in their city. Don't you think we might need to find some of that joy and show it as well? What brings you joy? Is it a special event or a special occasion? Maybe it was the birth of a child, a wedding, an anniversary celebration, a homecoming. Maybe it was a big birthday. Perhaps you had a great vacation trip or a destination journey or something that you did with your loved ones and your family. What occurrence or event would make you laugh out loud or cheer or jump for joy? What would it take to make you break out in song and dance? Would you ever do this out in public? Or would you prefer that it stayed inside where nobody could see, nobody could observe, where you wouldn't be embarrassed by what you were doing? Maybe we ought to be just a little bit more open to celebrating what God has done for us. Remember, Jesus himself said that heaven rejoices when a sinner repents and comes home. Why don't we do the same? Shouldn't that be the time we had a real celebration? If the angels themselves can sing and dance and rejoice, is it too much to ask for us to do the same thing? Could we not climb out of our shells long enough that we could actively share in the joy of God's redeeming love? We don't want to draw our attention to ourselves, so we just sit and we watch. But trust me, for many of us in here, not Eddie, but most of us in here, if the Bulldogs won the national championship, wouldn't we celebrate? Wouldn't we call up all our friends and say, "Gosh, did you see what they did? Did you see those great plays?" We might be literally out in the front yard dancing and singing. It's been a while. But why can't I do the same thing? I know I would be. So why can't I do the same thing when I think about God's amazing grace and what it has done for me? Shouldn't celebrating someone being saved be more important than a football game? And maybe we don't have an event and an occurrence such as God's chest being brought into our church or into our city. But we are here in God's presence, nevertheless. God calls us to come together to worship, to pray, and promises us that where we are gathered together, He will be with us. And if we accept that that's true, then we should act like we really enjoy being here. We may not sing and we may not dance up and down the aisles, but certainly we could sing our hearts out while we're singing hymns. We can play our music as loud as we possibly can. We can actually break out into a smile. We might laugh and enjoy the fact that we are here together with our friends, our neighbors, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we have one thing that David didn't have. They had no expectation of an eternal life in heaven. At that time, when you died, you went to Sheol. There was no paradise. That is a revolution in Jewish thought. They also had not seen and had the life, the death, and the resurrection of Christ. They did not have that expectation. And guess what? One day, Jesus Christ will come back. The trumpet of the Lord itself will sound. He will gather all of His people. What an amazing day that will be when we enter into the kingdom of heaven. Do you think we'll be singing and dancing then? Do you think there will be a celebration? Trust me, everlasting life has already begun. It's not something that's going to happen later. It's here now. So let our celebration ring out throughout our land so that people will know just how much we love and celebrate Jesus Christ and God, and let all the world see this. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, help us to celebrate and enjoy the love and times that we have with You, Lord, for You are always with us. And Father, open our hearts and minds to express that joy so that the world can truly know how much we enjoy having You in our lives and how much we trust You. Father, we give this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
our final hymn is "My Faith Looks Up to Thee." Let's stand if you say.
Well,